Today's meeting is meant for the adoption of the report that we have compiled during the public hearings on labor broaching. And the last meeting that we had, we nominated a few members of the committee just to look at the abusive practices that are in any case enshrined in the report that we have compiled. So that's what we are all about today. Maybe I've got the notes. I don't know how to call it, but the 5 points here, definitely it's a critical point in front of us that were done by that committee. And I'm sure we are going to expand on them. There are a number of abusive practices, I mean, in the system of labor broking. But that exercise, we've done it so that we just remind ourselves of what is in that report. So I don't want us to bog down on this thing and take, I know that the media is here. And so far, we were not represented at all outside. All the other things that were said, I don't know where they get them from. But I just want to point it very clear that these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the members are going to deliberate and expand on these issues. It's the points that we'll be talking on. There are a number of them in the report. And that's what we are here for today, is the adoption of the report. Can I then allow the members to say something on the report? Is there? Definitely we need to expand on the 5 points.
Thank you, Chair. We appreciate the work done by the small committee. And I don't know whether they overstated their mandate or they overstepped their mandate. Because my understanding of the small committee was to work on list all the abuses of the what they find, what are the findings on the from the public hearings of what had happened. So I've seen they write 5 points and say the following, and I've got, I can write three pages on the abuses we find on the ground, because we need to stipulate all the abuses so that the department can be able to work on those abuses, how they prohibited them from happening. And also going to number one of the report, I should think we must completely take it out. I don't know whether that we find it as an abuse practice, because saying by fly by night brokers boot at the car type, I don't understand that, because that's why I'm saying maybe they overstated their mandate. I should think we are just talking about the abuses we found on the ground. Because we cannot talk about the restructuring of the office or whatever. We don't know how they're supposed to be established.
So, Mahalina, I just want to come in there.
Yes.
I think that when I started, I said, let's expand. Let us expand on what is here. For instance, this fly-by-night brokers, both who have their laptops at the board. So I think we must find a way of expanding on what is here. I don't think that is out of order, but what we can do is to rephrase it so that it's related to labor-broking abusive practices. It is, but that said, these are notes that we must speak on them. Let's expand or let's rephrase.
That's what we are saying. The last meeting we agreed that we must define the workplace and the employer. In the last meeting we said we'll list all the abuses and define the workplace. So I was saying there it should be definition of a workplace instead of talking about the boots and everybody. Because here we are on legal terms. First one it will be, I should think we can change it to be definition of a workplace. We need to define the workplace. Why we wanted to define the workplace? It was solely because of we realized that some of them, there's no workplace for the people. So on our proposal on the minutes, I should think it will appear that we said we need to define a workplace and employer. From there, I think we find a lot of violations, like labor brokers contracts often conclude the right to strike in contravention of the LRA and Constitution. So that is another violation we have found on listing that. Workers are threatened with dismissal should they join unions. Some labor brokers contracts even require workers to sign stating that they will not join unions. Workers are often moved around between the different workplaces to prevent them from unionization. That's what we find on the ground. Illegal form of discipline adopted, no compliance with the processes of workers' rights to present his her side of the story, dismissals without following proper procedures are common in the labor brokers. Scap labor is often used as a mechanism to undermine the right to strike and collective bargaining in general. Minimal job security, a client who does not want to specify worker's job description for arbitration reason often obstructs the agency to allocate someone else. If the client is not treated as employer, the worker does not recourse to protection against unfair dismissal. The worker is treated as still being employed by the broker despite not being given any assignment. Violation of LRA retrenchment provision. Often full-time permanent workers are retrenched only to be rehired or replaced through workers with wages and employment conditions being substantially downgraded. Workers are often misled by the nature of the contract. Often believe that they are employed on a permanent basis, only to discover that they have been employed on a short-term contract by labor brokers. So I do have some I can read or give everybody.
Babu, you wanted to say something. Thank you for your contribution, Maade. Thank you. So you say you have notes on that you have prepared.
Yes, because
okay.
It's the same
thing as
the report,
therefore we are summarizing this bigger report.
so that when we put this bigger report to you as a chairperson, for you to put it to the speaker, we discuss this document, this one-page document. And if we agree that there is something that we have to analyze or contribute to it, we pin it together with this bigger report. In other words, we don't rewrite the report because we have the report and we all parties agreed that the report was perfect. It's only the names, maybe, and the positions that were corrected. But the gist of the report was all agreed, all parties agreed with it. Therefore, what we did as a subcommittee is to isolate what we think is the most important part in this report. So that when a person who is working at the Labor Department finds this report and fails to read the whole report, but you must come to this last page and isolate what really the crux of the matter. Therefore, we are not leaving the other abuses that are appearing in this report. This report stands as it is because it comes from Republic. We can't change it. We can't go back and say what you did at the World Lady was wrong. We can't say that. Therefore, it's our report from a whole lady from Eastern Cape, whatever way we went to. But this summary that we have was to isolate that and make a conclusion of making sure that the department, when it has read this report, target exactly what we want them to do as a parliament. Therefore, this report is not exclusive to this one. It's a conclusion dot to this one. It's a summary which is concluding dot to this one. Therefore, it's not separate. That is how we took it. I can understand that maybe if we overstep our mark, because we're thinking very widely, but we said we mustn't rewrite the report. We said we must isolate something, and that something must be conclusive to this report. Therefore, if there is a debate on this, we must debate here. We can't debate this report. Let's debate this. If we agreed with summary on this, or there is a meat that we want to put on these bones, it's fine. And then we all agree, and that's the report that will go to the madam, to the speaker, to you, to madam, and to the speaker, and to the house. That's how we did it. That's how the procedure, we followed the debate. Thank you very much, madam.
Honorable Jovo, Honorable Lemashele. Thank you, Clark. Let me come straight to the summary of the report, because I also was of the understanding that what we are going to come up with not something that is conclusive. The report, the committee, the bigger committee will still debate on what was isolated from the bigger report. Ours was not to rewrite all the report again, but was to isolate things, and the bigger committee here will decide if they want number one, if they do not agree with number one, or they want number one to be rephrased in another way. That's what we need to do here. But I am zooming straight to this report, to number five, which is outsourcing and subcontracting. As a smaller committee, we deliberated on this outsourcing and subcontracting because we have said that part of the abusive practices were as a result of subcontracting and outsourcing. And unfortunately, as a smaller committee, we then agreed to disagree. Because there was one member of the subcommittee who did not agree with us as the other members, who said that we need outsourcing and subcontracting to be addressed. We need legislation around subcontracting and outsourcing, because we have seen that many of many of the workers out there are being abused and taken for a ride as a result of subcontracting and outsourcing. At the end of the day, if one gets liquidated or if one does not have the money to carry out the mandate that was given by the client company, those poor workers tend to be taken from pillar to post when they want to get their pays at the end of the day. And to find that the subcontractor does not have money to pay them, or the subcontractor is still waiting for the main contractor to pay them, or at the end of the day, nobody has, the subcontractor misquoted and undercoated, and at the end of the day, workers are not protected. Ours in that committee was to say that what we want around subcontracting and outsourcing is protection of the workers. So when we had agreed or disagreed to on the point of that says we need to have legislation, we need to address subcontracting and outsourcing. So we said we are going to bring this, we are going to lift this, put this point and bring it back to the committee so that we further deliberate on this issue and we agree as a committee to say what must be done to subcontracting. I would think, Madam Chair, I want us to move towards that point so that we debate and find a solution towards this subcontracting and outsourcing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think the Oral Ndlovu and Shirley, it was all of us, myself, Shirley, Honorable Ollis, and Honorable Ndlovu, were the committee. The task team. I think the point that Shelley raised is correct, but we agreed that we must put in the point which will be debated in the House. So I want to suggest, if that will be allowed by the House, that one, this point one, this 5x9 broker stroke put of the car type, because I heard Honorable Rasulas saying that why do we separate this out of the abusive practices? What do we mean by this? I think that's the point. I will suggest that because if we look at point two in a way, out of these 4 points, if you look at point two does talk to labor broking in general, irrespective of the car boot or whatever. This triangular employment type, it speaks to everything. So then if this point one can be taken out, because it's addressed in terms of point two in any way, if we can take it that way. And if the committee then agrees, Chair, because some of the things might be English, might be English in terms of if we want to move with the point that says in the last meeting all of us we said what is reflecting in the report is what was said in the public hearings. I think all of us have also said the responsibility of the committee in this meeting now is to adopt the report. Is to adopt the report. Now, Baba Ndlovu says, as the committee has done this work, which needs to be ratified by the committee has that right, is something that has to be attached to that report as a way of what next has to be done as we went to public hearings. Now we are back, here is the report. What is it that must be done? I think if we're going to move, Madam Chair, in that spirit that whether we take all these points or we don't take all these 5 points that the task team came up with, but we attach something in the report that says what is it that must be done as a result of what the public said in relation to the labor program issue. That's what I wanted to raise that proposal, Madam Chair, some kind of a way forward, but I'm open to any suggestion by any member. Thank you.
There are two. I think there's one suggestion, because the number five, I'm sure the members are going to engage on number five. So the suggestion is on number one. I agree with you that we have the responsibility as the bigger committee to engage on the point and where we feel that they should be recrafting or removing or rearrangement of, you know, wedding. We can do that. That's all what we have to do. So from point one, the suggestion that is on the table is that it must be removed. I don't. You see the problem with point one. I don't think it's a problem. It's just that, you see, once we are done with this thing is going to go to public, and it's not for us. So we want people to understand what do we mean by this. So we therefore, because we have a responsibility to make it clear, not for us. If we are going to attach them, but to be clear to other persons or people who are going to be looking at this thing. So they either way you recraft or remove it. Whatever we are doing here, it is not for our own consumption only. So anybody who picks up this report or picks up this a piece of paper must understand exactly what is that we mean by all these points. And I agree that this report has everything. And there is a distortion out there that says this committee wants to regulate labor broking, because this committee only wants to prohibit some certain abusive practices. You see, we are not here to use. We don't care what language was used out there in relation to labor broking. We have the responsibility as a committee of parliament. If it means that we must use our own terminology that is going to deal with the labor broking, we're going to use it. So all these other things that are there that are saying we are retreating or we are, you know, moderate, I don't want to entertain them. These points, after these points, the recommendations down there, which I think are very important. And at the end of the day, what we are going to be doing as the Committee of Parliament, it will definitely talk to the mandate that we were given by the people of South Africa when we were going out there. That report contains a number of issues that relate to abusive practices of that system. And the people of South Africa have spoken in that report. we are going to take what is in that report, that mandate that is in that report, and translate it into legislation. That's what we're going to do. And this is what we're doing. We will translate the mandate of the people through these public hearings into legislation. Whether it's banning or regulating, we are not in that lounge. We are legislators. We talk through legislation. So that when people go out there and distort the content of the meeting, at least they know that we are going to translate the mandate of the people into the legislation. That's our responsibility. Members, there's a suggestion on one. Are we happy with that suggestion or we want to do something else? The suggestion was, let's remove. But there was a suggestion that says, let's rephrase. Are we comfortable? With which one are we comfortable with?
Thanks, Chairperson. I don't think that if we do remove or rephrase, that will mean we do not appreciate the work done by the subcommittee. But if you go straight to point number four, you think about one that has to be removed, but the point number four is still there. I'm saying the point number four, even if it can be taken out completely, but the point four is talking straight to what point four or point one has to be replaced, as Comrade Alina has alluded to. I was going to say, you take out your fly by night brokers, but we still remain with the definition of the workplace. So I would love to support that we take out, or even if I can say we rephrase by point number four. Thanks.
Any objection to that? Okay, so we then agree that point number one is reflected in point number four. So we can do away with point number one because it is a repetition. Okay. Members, is there anything that you want to engage on number two, three, and four? I think it's two and three because of four, we are done with four. So that we can go and debate question five. I think question five is the last one. Now, we are on point two and three. Anything that we need to... Honorable Alina?
Honorable members, I should think number two, it talk about form of employment. What we want here is what are the abuses? What are the findings? Our findings was the abuses of what people are finding themselves in. That's what we find. We find that people are abused, the pay slips are not there. That's what we ask them to do. But if we can talk about forms of work, we'll have a problem because five will prompt. So my recommendation is that let's talk only about the abuses we found on the ground. Finish. And then how the Department of Labor will prohibit this, it will be up to the Department of Labor how to prohibit all those abuses. Our duty on the ground was to find out what are the abuses. We find the abuses, let's list them. If they are saying they are in the report, fine. All the abuses we find there, we will... Because the last time we say write them all down, which I have done so I can circulate and everybody said what we have right. And then say we cannot go to the forms of work. We can't debate triangular. We can't debate outsourcing. We must just list the abuses which are there. And the minister must consider defining number four, which is a right for all of us. And number three is one of the abuses. And then we list all what is the problem, so that at least on our report we know what we found as abuses, as the findings, and say the minister should prohibit all those abuses. And in doing so, he must also, whether he amends the legislation and all pieces of legislation and repeal Section 198 or amend Section 198, it's fine. But our duty to the public was the findings. What did we find on the ground? Abuses. And let's leave out, that will be my proposal to the committee, that let's leave out all these other forms which are written here, because we might debate here the forms and not getting there. Because if we are saying now we must leave the outsourcing, now, when we'll discuss it. But if we say this is part of the abuses, we have all of them. On the other legislation, you'll see where the abuses are when the minister is considering all other labor relations acts to amend or BCA to amend. But let's take all the abuses which are in the report. That's our mission. Why? What we find is the abuses. What we as a committee term as abuses. I think that's what we must list as abuses. And say, this is our abuses. That's why I was adding. And I was comfortable with what the chairperson was saying. Say, if you find this is, because you cannot say the following and we write five. And you say triangular. I don't know whether we all understand. And they're subcontracting. But if we list all the problems we come across as they are stipulated in the report, to me that will be fine. And then we say the minister should prohibit all those abuses. How the minister do it, he will come back to us and report to say, this is how I going to stop all these abuses, and this is how we're going to prohibit them to the committee. And but what we are saying, he must consider number four seriously to us. And four, he must also look at all pieces of legislation and say where the abuses are. And he must deal with that. For us to come here, sit and say, triangular worker, blah, 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 blah. We don't know what is triangular a worker in the South African context and whether it has been defined. We know that it's labor brokers. But here, our duty is the abuses. Thank you. How to prohibit the abuses. And we say we find the abuses, the finding of the public hearing. We propose that the minister should prohibit all these abuses. Because we might say, legislate this, legislate that. You find that those things were legislated, there was no law compliance. We want to run away from that. Say, this is only the abuses we find. We want the minister to prohibit all these abuses.
Members, I think we said what is in this document. It's points that as a committee we need to engage on. And I don't know if there is I think Mama Halina is coming with another suggestion of saying he has done all this. I'm sure it's something that it's all the same document. I don't know. I'll assume that it's the same thing that comes from here, where he has listed the abusive practices instead of points. I don't know if we have. I think we must first deal with this issue that is raising. Do we have a problem if there is something that has been prepared in terms of the abusive practices? Definitely, it's something that goes into detail. Then it is here, but here it is in a point form. Just to look at it, what is that is in that detail that he has taken from this program, I mean from this report, and look at it. Or she must read it out point by point and tell us where is it relating to, or related to, in terms of the acts, whether it's section 198 or it's another act. What is that she is referring to? So I think Honorable Nyekem, sorry, Olive.
Thank you. If the Honourable Alina wants us to merely list all of the abuses that are in the long report, I mean, that's an administrative thing. We can get, the secretary can do that. We don't need to sit for hours and do that, and then we can bring that thing and put it on the table and just tick and cross, and it's finished. I mean, it's not, what we try to do in the subcommittee is to apply our minds, because, you know, we're not administrators, we're not staff. Staff can sit and do that. And maybe in this committee we can then just receive that and tick and cross and finish and go home. I don't think that we need in this committee to spend all our time making that list, because it's not a matter of argument. We all agree. I mean, we actually agree that this, I mean, I think it's quite amazing. This whole committee agrees that the content of this is an accurate reflection of what happened out there. There's no point of dispute on that. So, I mean, the secretary can even draw up a list and bring it to this committee. What we try to do with this shorter thing is to apply our minds to the whole thing and say, okay, where are the key problems? So that at least this committee can debate key problems and not a long list. So that's really where we came to this point. But if the committee wants such a list, I mean, we can just have it drawn up. It's easy. Anybody can do that.
Okay, follow up.
Yeah, I'm just saying, maybe if I give the committee what I've been working on to check all the, what you said that they must do, and look at it and say if you agree, while we are not stopping them from working, and then check what, remember when you are going as a committee, we are saying, try to even show us which the laws you believe they are being trampled with, because here we might talk about forms of where this, whereas there's only mere compliance of the...
Honorable Alina, I think you were talking about it. Yeah, you can give it around the members, that's fine. In principle, I think members have no problem, because what is in that list is what is in here. There's no contradiction. All what Alina is saying, he has put them in point form, and that's it. So I think we can look into that. Honorable Shelley.
Mine here is to say that, you know, as members of Parliament and as people who were given this task as a small committee, to come up with recommendations that will be reflected at the end of the bigger report, was to say, in us reading everything that is in that report, to say, my employer, they say he's in Sandton, I'm working here in Cape Town, I'm in Mpumalanga, I'm in the Eastern Cape, I've never seen my employer, but when I got dismissed, they said that your employer was in Johannesburg. All this said to us, there is a triangular relationship. It means the worker and the employer are not people who are communicating. The employee is not employed by the employer. Hence, there's a third force, there's a third party. And what us was to give reflect on that, to say that there's no relationship, there's no employment relationship in this whole situation and scenario. As us knowing very well that there is no piece of legislation in this country that reflects on labor brokers. Labor brokers is a word that was given, is a phenomenon or a word that gained momentum and was given to this abusive employment practice. But nobody can come and say there's a piece of legislation here in South Africa that will say, here is, it says a labor broker. There's no labor broker. Hence, labor brokers can come up and name themselves whatever they want. But we have agreed to use the term labor broker itself. And out of this employment situation, we have seen that there are many things that have or given leeway for the labor brokers to come and mushroom and do whatever they want to work. I'm not coming here to say that I want to defend this report, because this report is not, I mean, the subcommittee was not in any way a committee. It was just a task team that was set to come and list points so that the bigger committee comes and officiates whatever needs to be official. But point number two, if you read it correctly, it says there is no contractual relationship among the three parties in a triangular employment situation, which is the employer, the broker, and the client company. Now, we can agree here to give this all these three people other names that can be given, because the labor broker itself, we are saying they are labor brokers, but there's no piece of legislation that can point out and say, here's a labor broker. But we know that in this whole scenario or situation, there is an employer. There's somebody who's employing, who's the employer. And there's somebody who's saying they are the broker. In fact, here, I think the secretary of the committee did not write it correctly. It was supposed to be employee. It's not employer, because if you say employer, broker, and client company, this thing does not speak. It means then what needs to be corrected there is that there's no employment relationship between the employee, the broker, and the client company. The client company here being the person that gives the work to the broker and to the employee. So ours here was to apply our minds. Well, we need to apply our minds into everything that we do. We could not just come and say, yeah, we see a phenomenon, we see there's one party, there's a second party, there's a third party, which means that it is a triangular relationship in any way. I mean, if there was somebody else, if there was a fourth party, we would call it something else. But because it's only three people that are in the midst of all these abusive practices, we have to give it a name. It's not about us as the task team to come up or to invent or reinvent the wheel, but it was for us to say, out of everything that was listed in the bigger report, what do we see? We see there's the poor worker who's here. There's the client company who gives the work. There's number three, who is the labor broker or who's the facilitator or who is anything that can be named, because there's no law that says who this person is. And ours was to say, let us define this thing out of the bigger report. And it says here, if you read it correctly, as I have read it, I don't know then, I do not want to defend the report because I was part of the task team. But I want us to apply our minds when we critique. We must critique objectively in such a way that we give a reflection of the work that is done in the committee. Because if we say that, yeah, let us do away with number two, it means us as a committee here, we are not in a position to apply our mind or to see a phenomenon that is in the South African labor market, and we are not finding solutions to say this phenomenon, how must it be dealt with? Because we need to reflect it and we need to raise it. We need the department, we need Parliament to understand that in the South African labor market, there is a phenomenon that is a triangular employment relations, which has bred or given a leeway for this phenomenon called labor broking or casualization of the labor market to come into existence. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. I'm noting you. You see, members, I don't think that we should think when we say we must expand on this thing, we are undermining the work of the committee. I think some members of the committee, including yourself, Shirley, you are saying these points that have been made here, you have applied your mind and look at the cornerstone of labor broking. I think what Alina is raising, what Alina is doing exactly what Honorable did, what Honorable Collins was saying, which was not your responsibility, but what Alina is doing is for the public. For instance, if you take this to a worker, you see, this has been widely publicized, that the members of the committee are going to state the abusive practices. But for us and all these other learned people, they'll understand exactly what you say when you say, including this fly-by-night brokers, we know what it means, all of us, and all the other people who understand this field very well. But if you are going to talk to a worker who is there on the floor and then say, what perhaps they are going to want, what is that the parliament has said? What are these abusive practices? That is the administration work that he was referring to, things that must be taken out of this report. So I think what we are doing, we are complementing each other. Because what is here, this report is 100% perfect. But it's certain people who can understand it. If, for instance, this thing, we will turn it there. But anybody who is in that office or whoever is dealing with this thing will see what is this thing that this, or this triangular. Then it's in details, which is administrative. But there is nothing wrong, or there is nothing wrong that this committee has done by dodging these points. There is nothing wrong. But I don't want to shoot down other initiatives. If somebody has decided to do that work, all we have to do is to look at that work and say, we don't agree with that point, or all these things can be tied in. That's what I'm suggesting, because nobody is disagreeing with any point in terms of what you are saying. But the other one just went into details. You must understand the background, I mean, of these people. They don't have to look at this report, some of them, because some of them have been involved in this thing and are passionate about it. And I think that initiative must be accepted. This piece of work is good. Labor broking is covered. Point one, you can talk for 5 hours explaining what do we mean by this in terms of abusive practice. Point two, we can go to town talking about what do we mean. But what you are saying, this is for me and for the shop steward. But to, when you talk to those people who are really do, they will not really understand. All they understand is what they experience. And I think this is what Alina has done. So I think we must just compliment each other and understand. Looking at this thing, if there's something that we don't agree with it, all these things will go in. There's nothing wrong. Makuman.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think you said it mouthful, but I want to say I heard you very correct when you say initially let us expand on this very brief report. I was also listening to Honorable Ndlovu when he was saying let us put the meat on the bone. I also heard Honorable Makubele Mashele when she was saying they applied their mind, but this was not the finality of their bigger report. I want to correct what Comrade Shelly said, that there are some, I mean, ways of criticizing. We are not. We are surely not. We thought we are putting the meat on the bone. We are expanding. We are trying to beef it up to make sense.
I mean, the translation of English words, it's very broad. You already said that not everyone will understand the triangular employment in a very brief way, up until it has been detailed. Honorable Ollis has said it already, as you said, that it has to be, I mean, detailed, so that everyone who will be reading it will be able to see. This is what we have been saying to people that were conducting the public hearings. It will be unlike that we are summarizing on our own understanding, because I mean, at the end of the day, we are also creating, or some other, in any way, the problem of people that have to draft it in order for it to be in the public. Because once we are summarizing it, anyone can translate it anyway, and won't have a chance to say this has to be said this way, but it is not. So I'm saying we'll be repeating ourselves rounding the table in order for us to say one thing. I think you said it most, that details and summary, in fact, it's one thing, just that we are looking at it in different ways. But I don't see us disagreeing in anything. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me go back, Chairperson, to what I said. I said, Chairperson, the subcommittee was just a subcommittee, a task team, which was given a mandate, a very short mandate, what the department should do after receiving this report. That is why you have a one-pager. And we said we are not deciding on behalf of the committee. Committee has a right to debate each point and come to finality on it. Therefore, I concur with you that we are complementing each other. I concur with Umama again and all is that we list everything that is there. But I am saying we are helping the administration on the matter. But politically, the job was done outside. Now, what is happening to us is to say to the department, this is what we got outside. This is what we want you, department, to do. Therefore, what we are saying in these 5 points that we raise those 5 points directly to the department, because we have already heard the people on their side. Therefore, we can't go back and say, you guys were wrong, the department is right, and we think we are better than you, and so on. We can't say that, because all parties agreed with the report. Therefore, what we take out of this report, or what we tabulate out of this report, it will be the same thing that comes from this report. But on this one pager, is to say to the department, after reading all these things, you have to direct your mind out of this and make sure this is the correct way of doing it. And we want you to make sure that you apply your mind correctly. If you have to amend it, if you have to delete it, if you have to do whatever you want to do, but correct the situation, because it cannot stand as it is. That's how we take it. We are not preventing the committee to deliberate on this. We want them to deliberate on it, but we want to understand our position as a subcommittee, and we want to understand you too, understand our position, why we did it like this. Because we were doing it not for those people, because they have already spoken now. We were doing it for directly to the department to say, we have heard the people say, now you must do this now. That's where the complimentation is coming in. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable. Do you want to say something? Yes. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I think what I'm actually going to say is what was said already.
because we all know that it is us, this committee, who have actually decided on the subcommittee in order to do the work and to do the drafting and everything. But firstly, I also just like to say thank you to that subcommittee for this one-pager that they've produced to us. Because I think having read through this one-pager, it's very self-explanatory. However, there are some, you know, misunderstandings here and there. Misunderstandings in terms of what we as the bigger committee thinks was supposed to have been done. I just wanted to say that, having said that, we need to do what the Honorable Elena has given us in form of this document, which probably should be prepared long before the time. This information is contained already in document form. It's there. And we have agreed that it is there. It's just a matter of, if the committee wanted that, the subcommittee must do it for us in this format. I think we would have been able to pronounce ourselves on that. And having said that, because this information is already, it's at our doorstep. And the beauty of this whole exercise was, we were all privy to first-hand information when it comes to the public hearings, when it comes to everything. So I think there is quite a lot of complimentary in terms of we understand what the whole work was done here. However, when we look at page 1, which was actually now deleted, or has it been deleted? Somebody said we must delete it. Point 1. Fly-by-night brokers, boot of the car type. That has been deleted. Am I correct? Okay. Now, labor broking or labor broker, part of this point listed here, 1 up to 5, you know, this is my personal version. A lot has been said. Whatever the outcome of this whole thing is going to be, whatever the outcome will be, and I don't want to preempt the outcome of this whole exercise, but I would suggest that whatever the outcome of this thing should be, the name labor broking, there was a lot of poison involved in the name labor broker. Maybe. And I would like to bring this suggestion to this committee to say, shouldn't we maybe look at, irrespective of what the outcome of this thing is going to be, this name labor broker, because clearly there is the, in section 198, does speak about the TES, Temporary Employment Services. That is, they do make mention about that. So I think for purposes of maybe moving from here, going forward, whatever this outcome will be, I don't know what outcome will be, and I don't want to preempt it. We need to also look into maybe looking at that name labor broker. So that moving from here forward, because I think, for me, I think it's very important. Because that poison or that whatever we want to call it will stay there, you know. It's almost like a stigma that will stay. But in conclusion, I just want to say that we should actually also compliment the committee, that subcommittee, for the work that they've done here. And because this subcommittee was introduced by us, we suggested, subcommittee, please go and assist us with it. And today they came, they presented this to us, and we need to talk on these bullet points, 1 up to 5, and look at the recommendations, and speak to them, and say, what is it that we say on the work done by the subcommittee? Are we saying the work done by them? It's points that we need to discuss and deliberate on, which I think is the right thing to do. Are we saying that on all of these points, is there consensus on them, here or nay? Because I think the committee, before they actually drafted this, there was consensus among themselves. Otherwise, they would have never given birth on this document, this one page. Thank you, Chair.
Remember that I just want to give direction. I don't think we should go back on this work that has been done by the task team. I think many members have spoken and say this work is a tremendous work. It's a very good work that has been produced by the committee or by the task team. But I think Honorable Zo, who are part of this task team, also understand what is that you had to do. It's the mandate of the committee. We did not mandate you to, you know, what it was for the department to understand. But as you are saying, we are saying this is complimenting. We are not shooting that committee. That committee has done a good work. I think let's move from whether the committee was right or not. The committee was right. The committee has done the right thing. I think we must move away now from assessing the committee. The work was good. But what we are saying, or the suggestion was saying, let's go, because also people out there, when they hear that the portfolio committee on labor is coming up with a list of abuses, the understanding is different from the workers there and from what we have said. We understand this. Everything that has to do with labor broken, be it related to safety and health of the workers, is here. Be it the lack of understanding as to who is an employer between a labor broker and the client, it's addressed here. Everything is in these 5 points. It is there. We don't debate that. But we're saying, let's not shoot the other initiatives by the members if they so wish, because what she has done is to go into details. And including our guest here, they don't understand what we're talking about when we talk about abusive practices. Because what I saw on the media is totally different to what we were discussing here as a committee. So let's agree that we complement each other. Let's look at these 2 pages and see if there is something that we need to take out or something that we need, or everything is fine. Let's just focus on this thing. Really, it's good. I said point 5, because Honorable Mashele said, it's a point that they have agreed to disagree as that committee. Maybe it's one of the points that we need to expand on them in the committee, whether we will agree or not agree, but just to go into details as to why or how is it related to labor broking. And those who are saying it's not related to labor broking, it's something that, unless we are saying we agree to disagree, but all will go in that point 5, where you did not agree, you agreed to disagree. So if we adopt that stance of saying point 5, the task team agreed to disagree, this is going to go in. Or you want us to engage a little bit on it and explain to each other why the others are saying this is related to labor broking. Okay, so that's what I wanted us to talk about. Honorable Nyekemba.
Thank you very much. I think what makes certain members to keep on coming back on what has been done by the task team. The contributions, in fact, when members who were not part of the task team didn't have a preamble of saying, on top of the good work that you have done, we think these are the areas. So when he started in that session, but in the middle of discussions, that's when members now came back and said, no, the committee has done a good work, but we think that we need to expand on what the committee is. Because the reality of the situation, Madam Chair, is that whilst we deliberated first before we write any point out of these 5 points, we deliberated as to why, what are these issues. But then, now I'm raising my hand, Madam Chair, to make a proposal. A proposal, because now we are sitting with 2 documents. That is good. For any member of parliament to be creative, even if you have given work to be done by a particular committee, you don't sit down and say, I will wait for that committee to bring something and start then to do work. You also do work. I think now the proposal that I want to make is that what is reflecting on the one page, these 5 points, in fact, but I think point five, we must debate it, because that's what we promised each other in the task team, that as we do not reach consensus on point five, which makes reference to outsourcing and subcontracting, we must refer this matter to the bigger committee for debate. It's an issue that we couldn't reach consensus on as the committee, as the task team of four. Now, but if one looks at if you look at point four of the one page, point four, in a way, is a recommendation. If you look at it, it's a recommendation what needs to be done by the department. It's a recommendation. So therefore, I'm suggesting that, Madam Chair, the other points, that means point 3, point 2, and point 1, even if they might not reflect verbatim in this three-page document that Honorable Alina came up with, they are explained but in different categories. Because this document, this three-page, talks to the Labor Relations Act, talks to the Basic Condition Employment Act, Occupational Health and Safety Act, FDA, EEA, all the labor legislation. It does talk to them. Now, it's a little bit detailing these points that we could not detail in this one page. So, therefore, my suggestion, Chair, is that we take these three pages as the list of these abusive practices, and then we debate point 5 of the one-page report, which is outsourcing. Once we have done debating point 5, this outsourcing and subcontracting, whether we agree or disagree on it as a result of discussions, we then say, what is it that we recommend? Here is the entire report from page 1 to page 42. Here is the summary of the abusive practices. As a result of the public thing that we went to, is the work that has been done by us, not in the public hearing. We looked at the report and then we listed these as the abuses. And then, having done so, these are the recommendations. That was the suggestion, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Nyakemba. Any objection to that suggestion, members? Definitely not. So what we're going to do is to include recommendations on this, under this list of abuses. So I'm sure the same recommendations that are here, we can just transfer to this, so that we do away with this one, but all the recommendations that you want are in this three page. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah,
I think, yes, but my suggestion was that if we then agree on this one, that is the list of the abusive practices, that's fine, obviously, it's going to be incorporated in the bigger report. And it will reflect as the work of the committee, not necessarily as the outcome of the public hearing. The committee got the report, looked at the report, and then categorized what the public was saying. Okay? Then it's going to be part of the report, but as the work of the committee. And then we debate. We debate point 5 of the one page report that comes from the committee's task team. We debate that, all of us, at least to understand where what makes us to differ, or we convince each other to have one understanding. done that, Madam Chair. Then we talk to the recommendation. I think, I'm not suggesting that we must simply take them and put them, but I think committees, members of the committee who are not part of the task team, we're expecting their input also in the recommendations. It might happen that we didn't put the recommendations correctly, all those things. So that's the suggestion, Madam Chair.
There are no objections in this suggestion. I think we all agree with each other. This is the document that we use. Are there now coming to the recommendations? Before we discuss this point, point number five, recommendations. The members who were not part of the task team, are they happy with the recommendations? Are there any rephrasings or no? Well, not in number five. I mean recommendations.
I thought Nyakemba on his deliberation was proposing that we deal with number five, then come to the recommendations, because we will have to recommend after we have clarified number five. I should think if we can take Comrade Nyakemba's movement or
no,
but it will help.
No, hear from the members of the staff team just to, well, what is the problem about number five? Are you going to talk to number five? Honorable Collins.
Thanks, Chairperson. If I can say two things there. If we're going to accept this and incorporate it, there's a couple of grammatical problems as well. I'll just list a couple of them. The following, if we look at that page, the following is a category. Well, it should say the following is a list of bad abusive practices. It's not a category. We've taken out number one, so I won't comment on that. And then in the recommendations, too, there are some grammatical problems as well. The Department of Labor should examine all labor legislation, not legislations. You don't use the plural there. But there, anyway, I'm not going to get into all of that. There are a number of those that need to be corrected. With regard to point five, I think that's where the debate took place, because we really agreed on the other points. There was some agreement that these are concerns that the committee has and that the public has with the whole question of labour breaking. So I don't think the other points need to be debated, which is what we've agreed. Point five is where the problem has occurred. And the reason for the problem occurring in number five is because some of the examples put in the subcommittee of what is wrong with outsourcing and subcontracting, we don't agree at all. And I certainly know my party wouldn't agree with some of the suggestions that were made in that committee at all. For example, one of the examples that was put in that subcommittee was that if you award a contract to Company A, and Company A subcontracts to Company B, Company C, and Company D, and Company D goes bankrupt or doesn't pay their staff for whatever reason, the principal contractor, let's say Company A, cannot in law be liable to pay the salaries for Company D if Company D has gone bankrupt or whatever the case is. I mean, at law there is no such connection. Connections are made through contracts. And if we try as this committee to tell the Department of Labor to develop an amendment at law to link subcontractors' staff salaries to the principal contractor, it's not going to stand up in law. It's like a deck of cards. The thing will collapse. And so it's really the examples that were tabled in that subcommittee which create a problem for us, because we can't support a program that tells the Department of Labor to either stop outsourcing or subcontracting completely, or to tie the staff salaries of the subcontractors contractually to the primary contractor, in the sense that if the subcontractor goes bankrupt, the primary contractor must pay their salary. That's legal. And that's why point five has become a problem, because we couldn't get agreement in the subcommittee on that issue. We don't think that outsourcing and subcontracting in all its forms is related to labour breaking. There are some cases where there are similarities, where there's overlap. So in some cases, subcontractors and outsourcing companies are labour brokers. We agree on that. But in those cases, of course, they are labour brokers. So the labour broking legislation that we are proposing is going to cover them. But there are subcontractors and outsourcing companies that are not necessarily labour brokers. There might be a cleaning company. They're not a labour broker. They're just a cleaning company. And they do cleaning. That's their function. They're not a labour broker. Which means that it falls outside of the purview of our mandate, which is to investigate labour broking. And that's why this became a problem. If we were talking about labour brokers who are also doing subcontracting and outsourcing, then fine. We hardly even need to specify them because they're covered by all the other points in the long document, in points 2, 3, 4, in the recommendations. They're already covered because they're doing labour broking. I don't know if I've made myself clear. There's different kinds of subcontractors who do different kinds of things. And you can't, if one small company goes bankrupt, make the primary contractor pay all their salaries at law. That would be impossible. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ollis. Honorable Ndlovu, I've noted you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The example that is used by my brother on this matter, there is another example that we want to use in order to convince this committee to understand exactly why we agreed to differ on this point. We said Company A applied for a tender and got the bigger tender, but it cannot do anything. And I even used the Department of Defense and said that the Department of Defense put up a big tender for the naval ships. But there were five companies that they were building that one ship. Some of them went bankrupt. Some of them quoted very low in order to get the contracts, only to find that they cannot afford to pay salaries, and they run away. We list them as abusers, but we are saying, therefore, who's supposed to be held responsible at the end of the day? Is it a small company that ran away? Or is it a bigger company who has signed a contract of getting the tender at the beginning where the tender was produced? Because if we as a government, we are tendering something out, and then three companies get the tender, those are the principal persons who are liable to the government for delivering the goods. And if those three people cannot deliver the goods, and there are subcontracting the other people who will run away and doesn't deliver the goods, who's supposed to be held liable on that? It's the principal company who got the tender. That is why, therefore, we said the subcontractors, they do the similar thing as the labor broking, but they are not as labor brokers per se. But they run away because they misquoted the figures. Sometimes they quote low because they want to get into the tender, they want to get the business,
and so on and so forth,
only to find that they did what they do one hole and then run away out of five, and then four holes are not done. They've gone. All the people who are employed, they can't find them. They don't know where they are. Why don't we revert back to the principal contractor, who is a person who has signed the contract with the government, who got the tender? Something like that. That's where we differ with the understanding. That is why we said we must put it here to this committee. Let us debate it and see how we take it forward. We are not saying we may be wrong. Four of us were members of this subcommittee. We may be wrong in thinking that we're supposed to deal with this matter. You have the right to roll us out and say that, no, you guys, you have gone overboard. You are not supposed to talk about that thing. Just leave that thing out. We'll talk about it somewhere else. But we identified that thing as a problem because there are people there who are employed who are not getting paid because somebody has run away. But the bigger company has already signed the check, has already got the money, has already got everything. And it's high and dry. And people are suffering on the bottom. That's where we were debating on the matter. That is why we said that we will need the wisdom of the full committee to understand the issue. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Nyek.
Thank you very much, sir. We are talking two things which are similar, not necessarily the same. But I think even in the processes of the public hearings, it was made mention that the other thing that that Parliament needs to look at is how ordinary people on the ground are treated very badly as a result of certain operations that are being subcontracted, not only by the private sector, but also by the public sector. I think people on the ground, they did, it was raised. So the point I'm raising here is that we might not necessarily be out of line when we talk about subcontracting and outsourcing. What is it that we think needs to be done by Parliament? It's an issue that was raised. I think I won't necessarily repeat what Honorable Ndlovu raised, except to say that on the basis of what he has said and the submission made by Honorable Ollis, what needs to be looked at here is, in an event where there is subcontracting, what are the compelling reasons, fact, for that subcontracting? Because subcontracting, most of the time, is not done for the sake of doing it. Simply because this kind of work that is done by point A, and I think in that task team, we made an example by Parliament itself, the cleaners, yes. You will find that their cleaners, their uniform, not only Tutukani or whatever, that clearly indicates that these people are not employed by Parliament. There's somebody during the tendering process who won the tender and then went out to people who are staying there in the streets without employment and then take them. And then people, because of vulnerability, then they take any job that is open to them, irrespective of
what will be the conditions, what will be the salary, they can't take it because they are tired of sitting in the street. And then in the process, they become victims. The one who have won the tender would buy a big house, a big car with a tire at the back, everything, you see. In the process, then, there is no money to pay wages for those ordinary people. But Parliament is clean. Is Parliament going to say, thank you very much, even if your employer, because you are no longer my responsibility, the person who is my responsibility is the one that has signed the contract on. So I think the issue here is, how do we deal with the contract itself? With the contract itself, that will make even the person now who has won the tender or whatever to understand that if I do 1, 2, 3, which is contrary to what I'm supposed to do, then there will be something that will be done. So the point of the change is we I understand where Honorable Ollis moves from, but he is debating this issue as already there is a law. But I think what we're saying here is there is this abusive practice that is taking place as a result of subcontracting, which has to be dealt with. I think the last point here is on outsourcing. What's the these things that normally is similar in a way? I think in that meeting we made an example in an industry where there is a collective agreement about conditions of employment. Then company A or Parliament has a collective agreement with NAHAU or whatever trade union that exists. That these are the conditions of employment. Where you will find that what is happening even in Parliament with the cleaners themselves. Cleaners of Parliament, they have benefits which those who are wearing green t-shirts, golf t-shirts, they don't have those benefits. But the kind of work that they do is the same. They are all cleaning. So, but what we said on outsourcing is that, look, there's this collective agreement with all the conditions of employment, hours of work, benefits, everything else. Then because on the provident funds, your medical aid, your housing subsidy, and other things which are of benefit to the workers, employers contribute. In order now for employers to run away in contributing to those benefits is to outsource a certain operation. That's why Madam Chairman, this subcontracting and outsourcing in a way is similar in terms of how it is done. But these are English words. In outsourcing, then now the employer will say, no, I'm outsourcing security. The employer will argue that it's not my core business. Now, the question that will arise is, how can you say it's not your core business, whereas you've got property that must be looked at? It's your core business. Now, you are telling it to be not your core business because you want to run away to certain responsibilities. So then, as a result of outsourcing, once securities were employed by the company A, which is outsourcing security now, they will forfeit those benefits that they were enjoying the time they were employed by company A. So this also results outsourcing, similar to subcontracting out, it results to abusive practices. So therefore, these kinds of operations need to be looked at in terms of the law to have control because there is no control. I think I said because those are the points that I wanted to raise, Madam Chair.
Let me allow Alina to speak and you come with a compromise.
I should think we start understanding where this task group was coming from on this issue as part of the still negotiating now with the task team. Because if at the task team we're not agreeing, maybe we need to come with a new formulation, which say the department must revisit all forms of work and define a typical worker and employer. Because this is a form of work we have, which is not clearly defined yet, and I agree with what Honorable Nyakemba is saying. It's what is happening on the ground currently. But for us here, I should think if we want to give the Department of Labor the job to revisit all forms of employment and ensure that everything is put in line. Who is the employer? Who is the typical worker? Who is the employer? As number four, it will cover all what you are all saying and ensure that maybe we adopt the guidelines of Convention 181, because by virtue that the South African government had adopted all the standards, Convention on Standards, they can use 181 even if they didn't ratify it. So maybe that's what we must say, instead of arguing for outsourcing and all that, let's not argue forms of work now. Let's agree, like you said, what is labor broker? By any law, it's not been defined. Not so. That's why we are saying he must revisit. I should think your recommendation there on revisiting 198, I don't think we must say amend, but when we come to the recommendation, he need to revisit 198. He need to revisit all forms of work, not only outsourcing or downsizing or whatever, but he must revisit all forms of work so that we can have a clear definition of a typical worker. Whether that typical worker is outsourced, what does that mean? Because at the moment, we are not sure of what you're talking about. So that will be my suggestion, that we identify a form of work as one of the problems which the department need to consider defining a typical worker and employer and everything, as your number four is saying. But we bring it, we take number four out of there, put it in the recommendation, and say the minister must consider defining a workplace and an employer, maybe a typical worker also, because it's not quite clear here on four. And that's what we must say. Because then that all that will define every type of work. What type of a worker is this? What type of a worker is that one? So that, I don't know whether Honorable Nyakemba can agree with me and the committee so that we bring solution to that problem. Instead of arguing outsourcing, let's say the department should come to us defining all the forms of work and tell us what is subcontracting according to their own definition. Minister, consider defining that, because if it's not defined and we are arguing in abstract now, it's a problem, like I should think what Oli said on the labor broker. There's no definition up to now of a labor broker. We've got a technical committee of ILO description of a labor broker as a triangular worker. Worker in working in a triangular relationship, which is true, it's triangular relationship. But what we are saying is that let's leave that to the Department of Labor to come back to us with that formulation of what is a typical worker, what is a workplace, what is the employer, so that at least from there we'll understand what forms of work is that and what employment relation is that. That will be my thing that then Nyakemba agree with me and the Oli and Date.
No, it doesn't have to be Date Nyakemba and Oli. It has to be the committee. Let me allow him to. No, I thought we were going to talk about your compromised suggestion. So what that clarity, you can first ask the clarity then and come to the...
I just wanted to ask if the Honourable Member is suggesting that instead of 5, we modify 0.4. Is that what you're suggesting? So you want to take out 0.5, and in 0.4 you want to say that something along the lines of we must that's better than my suggestion. I think we should go with it.
Chair, it's very difficult to understand these things sometimes. I do understand what Mama is coming from. She's coming from on the understanding. But what she is saying is totally, totally different of what we are talking about. We are talking about not a triangle now. We are talking about a person who have got the tender. But he takes the tender, he gives it to somebody else. And then somebody else gives it to somebody else. And somebody, the third one, run away. And those people who are working for the third person, they don't know what to do. They've been left dry. That is outsourcing. Because, madam, it's not your core business to do a security. But luckily, we have got a tender because you got a very good figure to get a tender of security. But that is not your core business. Now, you ask because he is a security guy to do the subcontracting for you. Because he understands clearly the security. Only to find that Nyanyembe has only 5 people who are sitting in the office and he doesn't have 100 people that are needed to guide this company. And he goes out and says, let me employ all these other people, or else let me ask somebody to employ these other people, and that other person run away. And these are two different things. We are not talking about definitions. We are talking about a person who used the workers out there. Maybe we are moderating. Who use the people out there who are looking for the employment. But when they find the employment, only to find that the benefits are not the same, firstly. And secondly, the person will run away. And there is no recourse at the end of the day. Now, if there is no recourse, who else should be held hold liable on the matter? That's the question we are bringing to the committee. That is why, to me, I don't understand it. If we mix it with 4 employees, triangle, no, we are not talking about that. That is a separate matter. Please, Madam Chair, I beg the committee to really be in our shoes and understand exactly. If you go out here to this gate, you find people sitting there, and you have got a contract, and that contract of yours, and you don't know anything what to do about it, but that person out there is a carpenter who can do the job. Then you give him or her a business to do the job, because he has got a lower salary and so on and so forth, and he's got a benefit out of it. At the end of the day, he run away or she run away. And the worker stand there. That's what we're talking about. It's outsourcing, subcontracting. It's similar, but the same at the end. Thank you.
You see, we are dealing here with a very complex system, a system of labor broking that manifests itself in different forms. And if we are not careful, as much as we would want to protect the workers,
if we don't examine this system carefully and see how it manifests itself under different conditions, we'll fall into a trap. Because, see, the system, who gets the services at the end of the day? The services that have been contracted to that subcontractor, who benefits at the end of the day? It's a client. You can call it a client, or we call it a principal person, but who benefits? So I think the examples that have been made here of saying, the question is, how do you protect the vulnerable workers? If you don't, because you must have conditions as a principal to make it a point that everybody who works for you at the end of the day, be it in a form of a contractor or a worker who works for a contractor, you benefit at the end of the day. Those people, you wanted, I'm using your language, those people must be protected by law. Tell me the difference. You are saying it's a contractor and the labor broker, a subcontractor and the labor broker. You see, the system of labor broking is manipulating labor market. They do manipulate labor market to suit them. And most of the labor brokers, majority of them, they're not coming from your community. They are not coming from your community. Your communities are the ones who are the victims of the labor broking system. Now, when you subcontract what you term as not your core business, what happens? Are you waiting for that person who comes to you and get the tender of the so-called not core competencies to call himself a labor broker or a subcontractor? Because at the end of the day, that person who comes to you, the person that you award the tender to, if that person does not call himself a labor broker, he calls himself a company B or subcontractor B. But the manner in which he conducts his business in his premises, how different it is from those who are calling themselves labor brokers. What is the condition of the workers in that situation? So I think as much as we want to agree to disagree, because ETA has just said it's the organization does not agree, meaning that even if some members of the committee can deliberate on the issue, the position has been taken, because it is not on them to listen to the reasoning of the members of the committee, but the organization has taken, that's what you said, so you I think that can be changed, but that's what we listen to say. ETA has taken a position. At the end of the day, what we want, we don't want to go to a vote before we deliberate, so that people understand. It's not that members are saying subcontracting and labor broking. It's two coins of the same. I mean, it's two sides of the same coin. You can't separate the two. And therefore, as you have the responsibility to protect workers, you can't leave that hanging. So I must as well, in subcontracting and labor broking, I don't see the, unless you can convince me differently. Honorable Mashed.
Thanks, Shano. I think you have covered it correctly. And I would want us to, in the report, not leave this thing. We need to be very explicit, and we need to have it here, because we cannot rely on anybody outside us to do our work. Ours here in this committee is to say that we understand labor broking as labor broking. Out of the public hearings, we have discovered that there are also other abusive practices which are brought in by outsourcing and subcontracting. And in these instances, the vulnerable worker or the people out there were not able to defend themselves, because we cannot run away from our realities that says, you know, you get a vulnerable worker who would not even be able to take a person to court to say, I have given you my labor, I need my money, and you'll find the person will move from pillar to post, and the vulnerable worker does not have means to take this person to task. I would want to ask part of our report to say that outsourcing and subcontracting needs to be addressed by a legislation that will do 1, 2, and 3. So that at the end of the day, the principal contractor or the contractor A is not just left out there and he or she has delivered the work to the client, and there are people out there who have sold their labor to whether it was this subcontractor, A, C, D, or F, but were not paid. We want legislation that will say that if the main contractor A or the principal contractor says to the client, this is your final, this is my final report, I have delivered what you have asked me to do. I have given you what you have asked me to do in terms of the tender. It means then that everybody who has been working needs to have been catered for and needs to be paid the labor which they sold to the subcontractor or any of the subcontractors or the people that got the tender for the outsourcing or the security, that whatever example that we might use. But as a committee, we must not leave this. We must write it down, and we need to make it our point that it is clear that the department needs to do 1, 2, and 3 on this, because it's us at the end of the day who have this responsibility to the people out there who have voted us. The people out there mentioned subcontracting and outsourcing in most of our public hearings. I remember, for an example, in Welkom, there were people that were working in a hospital who have said that they do not know when is their payday. They do not get paid. Even if they are paid after 60 days, they will be paid only a portion of the salary which was agreed upon. And when they speak to the person that has been given the tender, the person would say, here are my finances. The department did not pay me. The department is still processing. The department is doing 1, 2, and 3. And at the end of the day, those poor workers need to work around what the department or what their contractor is telling them. At the end of the day, they are not paid for the labor which they sell to the person that has got the tender. Thanks, Chairperson.
Members, I think Honourable Alina, your suggestion of not talking about subcontracting, I think you must just withdraw it, because I think Shed is right. When people were talking on the ground, they did not talk this sophisticated employing. They referred to subcontracting and consent. So I think you must just consider that language. Was any hand beside Honourable Onis?
Chairperson, I'm going to make a compromise. Suggestion. Point 4, it's just the grammar that's bad, and I think we can fix it by just saying I'm just changing point five to try to make a compromise that will be better. So you can tell me you don't like it or you like it, I don't know, but I'm just going to suggest. The department should investigate the basic conditions of employment within the outsourcing and subcontracting industries. Should investigate the basic conditions of employment within the outsourcing and subcontracting industries.
Outsourcing and subcontracting, that we need to
phenomenon that has spread in the labor market. Ours here, what I am suggesting to this committee is that we must be explicit and we must give the department what it needs to do from the committee. And my suggestion is that labor outsourcing and subcontracting needs to be addressed through a legislation that will hold the principal company, which means the person that was awarded the tender, reliable for all the work that was done. When we say for all the work that was done, we mean even the labor that was sold to all those that were subcontracted through that whole process. If Company A was given a tender to build a school, and Company A went and subcontracted the library, went and subcontracted the laboratory, went and subcontracted everything, it means at the end of the day, we must have legislation in place that will say, Company A, because you were given the tender, you scored, you had all your prices correctly, you are still liable for all the labor that was sold to you or through the third party or so on. I want us here to not give the department to go and investigate on anything, because we have found ourselves, we were there, we witnessed ourselves that this subcontracting and outsourcing is a problem. And our people are suffering out there. Ordinary people do not know where to go at the end of the day when the person that was given the tender decided to go and buy a BMW when the first payment was made and did not even think that, hey, I still have five people that I need to pay here. But went and buy a BMW, and BMW is withdrawing the money straight from the salary before he can go and take to pay out the workers there. So we want legislation put in place that will deal with the principal company, the person that was awarded the tender. Thanks, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Shirley. Honorable Van Polaka.
Honorable Chair, with due respect, I thought we were trying to help the committee on the formulation. But here, they didn't say anything. They are saying outsourcing and subcontracting were identified as one of the problematic areas. Full stop. I should think, according to me, that's where we must stop. And the task team, then we didn't know what they were proposing. So we are trying to help them with their formulations. But are they agreeing that it's highlighted as a problem?
Honorable,
can I finish?
No, I need to intervene. We are not talking about the task team.
Yes.
The task team, now you are going to bring back all these other comments that you don't want about this week. What we are on now is the subcontracting. Just propose, there are two debates on this. There are people who are for this thing to come, and Honorable Ollis has come with a formulation, and I think that's what you should address.
Okay. That is the case, is that outsourcing and subcontracting were identified as one of the problematic areas, which also got the same abuses, and it should, all the abuses, I think it's all the abuses in subcontracting outsourcing and subcontracting, all the abuses in outsourcing and subcontracting should be prohibited. So the department should work on the how part, how they are going to prohibit the abuses on outsourcing and subcontracting. Because here we are there for abuses. So what we are saying is that we identify that in subcontracting and outsourcing, there are also abuses, abuse practices. So the department must ensure that they prohibit all the abuses in those categories.
Honorable
Law.
Honorable Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm listening attentively to the discussions here. I was hoping that it won't be necessary for me, maybe just to add something. But we believe in opportunities comes in different forms and in different manners. If I may just add to the example that my honorable member have used over there about the school, building of the school. The principal person who tendered for the school, who got the tender, he's subcontracting that to other people. And the people, number one, and I think that is where we identify the exploitation. And it's because of that reason that exploitation will just carry on and forever. One, if the subcontractor is the person that took the responsibility of building that school, and we need to ask the question, before him having done that, is the capacity there? Is he really capacitated or is he taking chances? That is what we need to ask. Because in most instances we find that people will do something for the sake of doing it because of desperation. People are desperate, unemployment is high, and people will take a chance. He will even go to the extent of underrating, underscoring what the actual work is supposed to be done. In other words, if he is supposed to live with the 20 rand, he will be prepared to live with the 10 rand. Because of desperation, and these are happening. Now, my question is, why have this thing? Why would, and it's here, it's pointed out here on bullet number one, fly by night. So that person is actually a real fly by night, in the true sense of the word. If one has to look at it that way. What we're saying here is, opportunities come. People have been given an opportunity in order to enhance, to capacitate themselves, and I cannot see the logic at the end of the day. If that thing has been outsourced to the person who is doing the actual work, that's, in other words, the second person, he must take responsibility in terms of the work done. And because at the end of the day, it's one or two things. It's either he doesn't know what he's doing, or he's taking chances. That is why he's prepared to be compromised. And that is why we have situations where exploitation takes place. That is why he eventually will run away and the work will never get done. Because all of a sudden here he realizes, you know what, I'm actually realizing that I'm shooting myself in the foot. I'm not getting what I was supposed to have gotten out here, or what I envisaged that I will get out. So what do I do? What is the easiest thing to do for any lay person? I just leave whatever I'm doing, I run away. Because I've realized afterwards that I put myself in a situation that where I would have compromised myself. Those are the actual things that we need to talk about. And I think we're talking about it, but we need to come to the crux of the matter. The crux of the matter, in my wording, is if somebody takes up the responsibility, and that is where we actually open up opportunities for people, or where, that is where opportunities avail themselves, that person must be sure. If I'm not a panel beater, I should make it a point that I cannot take up that responsibility of saying that I will do the job, knowing fully well that I'm not actually the person qualified for that. There should be rules laid down and say, you must meet the following, X, Y, Z, before even considering you getting to do the job, to be outsourced. And I think that is where the Department of Labor can actually assist us with that. That is now where the enforcement part comes in. That is now where the oversight would come in order to police the situation to see, is that thing really being done? What people say they can do. If I need to re-emphasize what I said, I see people lifting eyebrows. You're welcome.
No, I mean, really, you don't judge people by the body language. They might raise up eyebrows and agree with you. Honorable Ndlovu, did you want to say something? I'll come to you, Honorable Nisi, and then Shelley. Or should I have spoken, Nyakemba?
Chairperson, thank you very much. If you read what our Olive proposed, and you read recommendation number two, dot number two, it's the same. It's just a different wording, but it's the same. Why I'm saying that same as the recommendation that was raised by my brother next to me. It's the same. It's just a different wording, but it's the same. Therefore, I'm not an English speaker. I understand his language, and I understand that the words that he used are not similar to those that I used in Dot 2 on the recommendation. But when you go deep down and analyze it, it's the same. That is where we have a problem. That is where we identify a problem. Because the problem, Chairperson, is not this problem. It's the other problem which is not there. That is why we brought it back to you to say we agree to disagree. Please, map the way forward on this matter. Because we'll end up here not agreeing on the matter. Because I can see that we are dilly-dallying on the matter, but it's clear that you won't agree on this matter. And I must say, for the sake of saying it, as IFP, we feel passionate about this matter. Because there are so many people that have been exploited by the subcontractors. There are so many people that have been exploited by the outsourcing. That's where the casualization comes from. I'm not talking about labor broking now. I'm talking about the real person. A person, the casualization of a person. That's where my problem lies. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Eric. Honorable, I think the suggestion by Honorable Lobo that we must agree to disagree, it's the right one. But if members want to deliberate on this issue further, they must. But what I would want us to do, because we've agreed that we have one, the three-page document is the one that is going to be accompanying the bigger one. These five, it must come under recommendations, because we have to take these recommendations and put them in that document. So we must come up with a recommendation on five. That recommendation that we agree to disagree. And I think Ushele, Honorable Ushele, yes, you must start doing what Honorable Law was, Ellis was doing, and dictate this recommendation, what is how it should be. talk to me.
Chairperson, the honourable member doesn't like the word investigation, and I agree with her sort of, because I can understand that it implies that we must go do another investigation, and that's not what we want. So I agree with her. I just want to change the proposal so that it will incorporate what she's saying. I want to take the word investigation right out. So it will now read, the department must consider the and then the rest is the same. The department must consider the basic conditions of employment within the outsourcing and subcontracting industries with the aim of preventing similar exploitation to what is seen in the labor broking industry. So no more investigation. Take an investigation right out. The department must consider
legislation that will address these abusive practices that was brought by these two by holding all parties liable.
Any objections to that formulation? You know, you agree? Yes.
Keeping all parties liable for what?
Liable for payment of the worker.
But I think we have said we agree to disagree on this issue because we are not going to. I mean, the statement that says the party has taken a stand, so there is no way, there is no amount of reasoning, I think, that we can do until. I think Babu Ndlovu, as the Honorable Ndlovu said, disagree to disagree. I think we should agree to disagree. I don't see us understanding each other on this issue. No, but it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Yeah. Now it's fine. Ma Alina, any modification of from other? Oh, sorry. Oh, Nisi.
No, thanks, Chairperson. I'm covered because we are now dealing with the formulation. I just wanted to stress that we can't leave this open.
Okay.
We need to state clearly that there must be a policy that will deal directly with the subcontracting and outsourcing.
And Marlena?
I want to appeal to my other committee members to really consider the latter formulation of Comrade Ollis, of Honorable Ollis, which doesn't exclude the other forms of employment. At the end, it must end with all other forms of employment. Because if we are not going to revisit all other forms of employment, we'll have a problem just to single the two. So we say you can repeat your formulation, but please end with other forms of employment so that he can revisit all others, not only that one, and all pieces of legislation. I should think that's what we said in the last meeting. When we check the minutes, we'll find all what we are saying. So I'm just saying the formulation of all this, it's fine, but it must end with the other forms of legislation. Because it's saying exactly what we don't want about outsourcing.
I think, and unless we don't understand the English, there's a difference between what Honorable Ollis is saying, because he's saying they don't agree with the part that says the principal and the subcontractor must be held. Yes, that's where they differ with Ushili. So I think that's where we are. Look, forget about all the what has been said, but where they differ with Ushili, it's only there.
Can you repeat that again, for example?
Who?
From what he's saying. If we can hear what he say and hear his formulation. Because it was at the department. Should, if he can move from there and give us again and understand where is that what he's saying. Let's hear.
Can we really cut short this? Honorable Ollis, are you agreeing that you are happy with all what Honorable Shelley was saying, except the latter part that says, yes. Except that part. That's the only part where you disagree with.
Mm. The only part I disagree is those last three words, because it tells the department that it tells the department what to do, and we don't think that we should leave them to formulate the act according to what their lawyers will advise. We don't believe that Parliament should tell them that the monetary value of each employee's salary must be written into the act. We feel that should be up to the department's lawyers to draft that, not because it's might end up agreeing with this thing. You see, it is possible that the DA might vote in support of this new act, but we don't know yet because we haven't seen it. So at the moment, we're just trying to caution putting too much detail, and then when the department comes back, they tell us something that we can't agree on, but we might end up agreeing on this thing because we do, we've said in this committee we believe there is some exploitation out there, and we're prepared to help to get rid of the exploitation. So our only problem is with those last three words about the monetary value of the salary in each case because it's complex, and we don't feel that the department should be told how to word that. And that's the only difference really between our proposals. Mine is just leaving that open for them to write it, and her one wants to specify to the department how to write it, that they must include the monetary value of the salary that the employee must be paid by the principal if one of the subcontractors run away, and we don't agree on that part.
Honorable Ndlovu?
You know, Chairperson, I think we are going to, I thought that we are going to the conclusion on this matter. Now we are going backwards. I think you ask a very simple question. What was my brother disagreeing with what she was saying? Three words only. Now, if therefore it's the three words that they are fighting with, and if she did stand by her words and they stand by their agreement, therefore you come back to me. We agree to disagree. Because my principal was saying we are talking about what the department should do. Now, if we are saying we as members of parliament don't agree on this matter, and we think the department must do something about it, who is that? Because we represent the people here. Therefore, we should feel and say what the department should do in order to correct the situation. Therefore, that is why we agree to disagree. It's not the last of the world. If we agree to disagree, it's fine. Let's make our report and go to the parliament through you, Chair, to parliament, that this is a grey area where we disagree. And these other people are saying this, other people are saying that, but the department has a duty to make sure that it come up with a solution on this grey area. For sure.
Members, I'm sure you are not going to open this discussion. We are going to talk on the way forward in terms of what has been suggested and what has not been agreed on suggestion. Let me give two. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think Honorable Ndlovu is correct. We can discuss until cows come home. But I think it's important that there's a principle that we all agree on, that this practice of outsourcing and subcontracting, the end result is that ordinary people become victims at the expense of those who have won through the process that is regulated. There are regulations in terms of procurement. It's very clear. There are. But what is not being taken care of is when now the actual workers are involved. That's the area. Because Honorable Lowe took correctly the example that was made by Honorable Shady of a school. She was making an example, but he took that, and I think that was correct. That was correct. That's exactly the issue that we say it must be addressed. Is the fact that here is a tender to build a school. Because, you see, for me to say there's an industry for subcontracting, there's an industry for outsourcing, we'll have many industries. The industries that we have are enough. We can't keep on introducing industries. Because, yet we can't, because the issue there for Madam Chair, agree with Honorable Ndlovu that one, the report must reflect that outsourcing and subcontracting, they contribute to vulnerability. It's English. We can put English words together. But there are two views. But the issue is, the department is not a mediator at the same time. The department is not a mediator. Because if we are saying that there are two views, there's this view that says this, there's this one that says this, we are saying department is the mediator now. And then if you can't bring us together, then you can arbitrate. It doesn't work that way. The discussions in this committee is to convince each other. Then if we are not convincing each other, majority rule. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You've made my work very easy because we can't, we will note that the objection as to where the objection is, but at the end of the day, the majority it goes without saying. We can't. It doesn't happen anywhere. You don't say we have these views and then we give it to you. So that's why we're here. Members, I think I want to close this issue now. In fact, we must, honorable, we must vote on this issue so that we conclude the report and adopt the report. In fact, if the majority, there's no reason for voting because the majority, it goes. But we can vote on it and then adopt the report. No, it's that formulation because that is the recommendation. You see that number 5 on subcontracting. Exactly where you don't agree. You don't agree with the formulation, the latter part of the formulation. That and that must come. Honorable, can you hold your hand? I've seen your hand. We are voting. That's where we do not agree in this whole report. I think that's only where in that formulation because that is coming as recommendation.
The statement is as follows. With reference to outsourcing and subcontracting, the department must introduce legislation to address these abusive practices brought by outsourcing and subcontracting by holding liable for the payment of the worker all parties. Introduce legislation. With reference to outsourcing and subcontracting, the department must introduce legislation to address these abusive practices brought by subcontracting and outsourcing by holding all parties liable for the payment of the worker.
Thank you.
Can we take... conditions. The replace aspect of it?
With reference to outsourcing and subcontracting, the department must introduce legislation to address these abusive practices brought by these two practices, which is outsourcing and subcontracting, by holding all parties liable for the conditions of the work.
Are there any more objections on this rephrasing? Legislation, you did say the must introduce legislation.
Yes.
Any, you're still not, you don't understand?
No,
okay, so you don't agree.
Yeah,
okay.
Shall I? Can I add? I know we've talked about it already. But in terms of, the liability part, that's something that we completely don't agree with. And I think that is what we initially said. I just want to make it clear again. We don't agree that we can keep both parties liable for that. No, we don't agree with that at all.
Okay. Honorable Ralph.
I'm just leaving that. I don't think the matter should take us to vote.
We need to work out around all abuse practices. That's my formulation, which I think it's more innocent than just abstract. All abusive practices in outsourcing and subcontracting should be prohibited. We leave it there. How they prohibit it, let's leave it to them. Thank you very much. I don't want to say it. we are starting to do that for the department. And the department can do that with the social partners. Thank you. But what I'm saying, I'm proposing, comrade, that we don't go for a vote. What is the middle part we can have? So that we tap the department instead of us fighting here. Because I'm just saying, let's not go to the details. But I don't know whether comrade, the Honourable has got a problem with legislation. If we can say, should prohibit by putting a legislation.
Honourable, no, you don't negotiate. You talk to me. I want your formulation. As you are formulating, you don't ask another member because we're all listening. So your formulation is, what is your final formulation?
My final formulation is that all abuse practices in outsourcing and subcontracting should be prohibited. Full stop.
Can I ask for 10 minutes break? Please. Like 5 minutes.
Thank you. terms of recommendations. The only thing that we are doing, we are adding that 0.5 in a form of a recommendation. This recommendation stands, but we are adding 0.5 of this page in a form of a recommendation, which means yes, the bullet point number 3 as a recommendation. No, it came from you. It came from the members that we can't have these 2, 3, 4 pages because this page is in that 3 page. You know, all these things that are here. Yes, everything is there. The only thing that we did not agree is 5. Am I? Are you with us there? You understand? Because that came from the... Nobody objected that we must not use this because this is illustrated in detail in that 3-page document. Yes, 3 recommendations on top of this under the abusive practices and the report. Okay? No, but I'm saying, Honorable, the number 5 is coming in a form of a recommendation. And that recommendation, you see, okay.
Point number 3.
With reference to outsourcing
the department must introduce legislation to address these abusive practices brought by these two, which is subcontracting and outsourcing, by holding all parties liable for the conditions of the work.
Are you happy? Any more issue before adoption? Can you adopt the report, members? Honorable Minister,
I therefore move for the adoption of the report
with the amendment. With the amendment. Any seconder? Seconder. Thank you. The report has been amended. We note your consent is noted, but it has been adopted. This is the report that is going to be tabled in Parliament. Thank you, members. That's the end of the meeting.